Turn to the book of Habakkuk, and it's the eighth book of the minor prophets, right after Nahum and right before Zephaniah. So maybe you can find that. Habakkuk. When you find your place, I'm going to ask you to stand.
Or do a sword drill. Start getting into minor prophets, sometimes we go, oh, where are those things at? All right. Habakkuk, find your place there. All right. We're just going to read the first four verses this morning. The burden of Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me. And though there are that raise up strife and contention, therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for this prophet. We thank you for, in his lifetime, what he did see. And Father, today, as we look out, we can see the very same things going on. Father, I pray this morning that you would help us and that you would encourage us, knowing that you're on the throne and that we're on your side. I pray now you'd go before the message, that you would encourage each one, have our hearts to be open to receive that which you have given to us. And I thank you again, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So Habakkuk lived before the captivity of Judah when they were taken by Babylon. He was a contemporary with Jeremiah. Of course, the godly King Josiah was reigning probably early in his life. And of course, Josiah, as we remember, he was a godly king. He came and he really had a revival in Israel. But his sons were not the same. Isn't that interesting? You go through the Bible so often, and sometimes we, especially in our generation, it's happened. I've seen it happen where people judge people so harshly for their children's misbehavior. But the more I read the Bible, it's funny to me because you see these kings that are godly kings and their sons are wicked. It happens over and over again. The best we can do is influence our children to do the right thing. Not that these kings ever did, but that's important for us, is that we try to encourage them, because I believe, totally believe, that Christianity and salvation is more caught than taught. We can teach you and we can say a lot of things about the Lord, but it's not until we live it and show it and demonstrate it that people can get a hold of it and grasp it, what it is. But nonetheless, here we're in a situation that Habakkuk is seeing what's going on in Israel, Judah specifically. And God's going to share with him some things that are going to take place. He's going to reveal some things. And he has this burden because, again, he loves Israel. Most of the prophets did, of course. They'd had to do what they did, to continue to prophesy even in the midst of difficult times, when times people were not Christians, or not Christians, but Israel was not following God's plan. Often they stood for that which is truth, even though folks did not. And so as we look at this, we see this burden, and we see the burden that he has. It's a burden that I think a lot of us have as well. And if not, maybe we should. We ought to have a burden for our families. We ought to have a burden for our friends and those that we come in contact with. Because what they do with Jesus Christ makes a difference for all eternity. what they understand about Jesus. More importantly, the fact that they believe that he died for their sins. And as I was looking at this message, he says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry?" I titled it, "How Long, O Lord?" Kind of flipped that. And that's the message this morning, "How Long, O Lord?" You know, he's coming back real soon. And as you look at America, we live in a time, and it's been progressive, and it will always be progressive. In fact, that is the agenda, that is Satan's agenda, to be aggressive in what? Evil. And we see that in the world today. We see that in our country today, progressively moving toward evil. More evil, more evil. Making and calling that which is good evil. And here, as Habakkuk saw that very same thing, he cried out to God. It was a dark period when he was living. And to really understand what was happening, and let's go to Jeremiah this morning. He's a contemporary of Jeremiah, but go to Jeremiah chapter 36 and kind of get a view of what he's experiencing and seeing at this particular time in Judah. Jeremiah was a prophet to Judah, as well as Habakkuk was as well, and others. Isaiah was. And this is on the eve of the Babylonian captivity. It's going to happen real soon here. A couple chapters later, actually. Chapter 39. But we can see the apathy toward the things of God. We can see how these people don't care anymore about God. These are Israelites. So I'm going to read a lot of this morning, but we'll begin in verse 1 and go down to verse 7 and pick it back up in a few minutes. It says, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying." So these are the words that the Lord is giving Jeremiah, telling him the instructions of what to do. He says, "Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day." So pretty much everybody. "It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I propose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin." He's giving them a warning, but he's also giving them a chance to repent, a chance to turn back. We can do that in America today. We who have the Word of God goes forth. There are hearts that will listen, minds that are seeking and searching, that they too can know Christ. And it could happen that people could get saved and the nation could turn back. God's merciful. Amen? Amen. "Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up." He was locked up in prison. "I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people." So here we see they're in a situation. They're away from God. They're not following him. They don't care about him. And yet God still loves them. God still wants them to turn back. He still wants them to repent and turn back to his ways. That's what God wants today. He wants that in America. He wants that in the world. But it has to begin in the house of God. This is where it has to begin. And in America today, we're facing these very same things. America has turned from God. And it's subtle. It's really subtle and has been over the years until more and more we can see it. It's as the light is being shined on it, as it is being manifested we have a clear view of what's going on. I mean, it's been going on for a long time. It's we've rejected God's word. We've rejected his plan. We've rejected his purpose. We are becoming like the Israelites. In verse 3, it said, and God called this the evil way. And that's where we're at in America. America is following the evil way, the god of this world. And here, the Israelite was doing the same thing, and God was trying to give them another chance, trying to use Jeremiah to give them the word of God, to help them to understand their sin. And it's going to take the word of God because it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's what's going to change us. It's what's going to convert us and help us to know what is right and what is wrong. It's the word of God that we need. So in verse 8, picking it back up, and says, Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. So he's at the temple, he's reading the word of God, and it's on a day of fasting. It's a Sabbath day for sure. And so he reads it boldly out to those that are there. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, Jehoiakim, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Deliah the son of Shimeah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and Gemara the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. And then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. So Micaiah heard this, and he went to the king's house, and he's going to tell him what was said. He's with the princes at this time. Therefore, all the nations sent Hudai, the son of Nethaim, the son of Shilama, the son of Cusha, unto Baruch, saying, take in thy hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid one of another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all the words unto me, talking about Jeremiah, with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, let no man know where ye be. And they went into the king in the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudai to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudai read in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes that stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth, burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudai had read three or four leaves, he cut it with penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. So here we see the situation. The word of God is being pronounced. Baruch did what Jeremiah told him to do. Micaiah, he heard the words, he took it back, and they got Baruch, and they got the words themselves. And when he brought them to the king had them burned. The words of God. So what's so important about that? It shows us the apathy. It shows us where these people were, these Israelites, God's chosen people, with the Word of God. They weren't even given lip service to it. They were completely rejecting it. They didn't want to hear it. The king didn't want the people to know about it. And they burned it. They destroyed it. And so that we see is why I believe today that you see Habakkuk so distraught, so discouraged because of this very thing. The Bible said they were not afraid in verse 24. They no longer were afraid because they had no fear of God. They didn't reverence God. They didn't care about God. Proverbs 9:10 reminds us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And we see what Habakkuk saw, what the prophet did see. This is what he saw. This is what he envisioned in this time in his life. Today, to be honest with you, I see very similar things going on today. If we can just sit down and think about what the world is doing and how the America itself is moving and how quickly it's happening. We think it's quick, but actually it's just less Satan is subtle. It's been going on for a lot of years, but now it's moving faster and faster and faster. But this prophet, he looked at this and he was discouraged. He was distraught at what it was. And he said, back in the book of Habakkuk, he said, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. He saw the wicked. In his mind, the wicked were winning. Nobody was following God. And God wasn't doing anything about it, he said in verse 4. Therefore, the law is slack. God, where are you at? What are you going to do? When are you going to do something? We see that in America today. We ask ourselves, when is God going to do something? What's going to happen? It seems like we're losing the battle. You know, the more and more you look and you hear, I mentioned this the other week, and it's in the news now about Christianity in America, that we're less than 50%. That's who profess to be Christians. That includes the Catholics and everybody else in the world. We know it's never been over 50%, but there was a moral or at least a conversation in America at one time. Maybe that was who was over the 50% that called themselves Christians. But they had some idea of some religion that at least kept them from doing maybe real stupid things that are going on today. We see that our leaders completely have turned from God. They no longer look to Him. They don't care about Him. Just as Jehoiakim took and had that burned, I believe that our leaders today, if they could do it, and it will come, it will come, they're going to take our Bibles and have them burned. They're going to come to your house maybe and knock on your door and say, you got a Bible? And you say, no. He says, well, we know you do. We want it. I can see that happening as we get closer and closer and closer to the time before the Lord comes back, before we're ushered out of here even. How important it is to be in the Word of God, to study the Word of God and try to understand what it means, and if, as much as you can, meditate and memorize so you will know the Word of God. Today, America is promoting and providing the means of people to turn away from God. I mean, we look at all the things that they want to do and continue to do, and they have no thought. And it's all in a guise. As Satan is really subtle, and like he came in the Garden of Eden, he twisted the words, and he told Eve that you would become as gods, and you can see all these things or whatever, and that God didn't say that you'd surely die. We see that in our world today is they try to take something, and it's falling on themselves as well, but they try to take something and use it as their instrument of righteousness in their minds to do something evil. Women's rights, for instance. They ought to choose what they do with their bodies. They ought to have, if they have a pregnancy and they don't want it, they ought to be able to choose that they can kill some human being. They ought to have that right. Today, our children have the right, and it's moving that direction, to determine who they are today. I was listening to a little bit of, I can't think of the lady's name. I should have wrote it down, but they were asking her questions, and she said, the question they asked, she says, so what, as far as sports go, if someone comes in and they want, say, for instance, a man wants to play on a woman's sports team, can they do that? Is there something they have to go through? Is there a paper they have to sign? She said, no, they just need to say, I'm a girl today. That's all you have to do. See, society's got everything backwards. It's a wicked world we live in. Today, your children and the children of this world can make up their own minds, and if you go against them, they're going to lock you up. You can't do that. You can't tell them. Because they want your children. They want to take your children and take them away from God, and they want them to be their servants, as so many are already. It's funny, you know, it used to be when you killed somebody, they put you in prison. Today, you kill somebody and wait a little while, you get out. They're letting them all out. Get out of here. We don't want you. We can't hold you anymore. Obviously, sin is promoted as the normal lifestyle today. It used to be the alternate lifestyle. Now it's the normal lifestyle. They've taken over the schools. They've taken the education and the system. The whole system has failed. I mean, the stuff they're trying to teach today. You don't want to teach about 1776 anymore. That's not where you want to go. 1619. That's the date you got to remember. Forget the other one. You don't need to know that. There's a lot of things they're trying to rewrite history, trying to put in different curriculums. And it's really, it's when you think about this critical theory and all that they're trying to do there, it's getting really ridiculous. There are some people that are fighting it right now, but at one and that's the way it's always been. We've fought everything along the way. We fought the civil unions of homosexuals. When I first came here in 2004, I think that was the thing that was going on. Well, now it's you can marry anybody you want, and you can be a girl if you want, or a guy, depends on what you feel like today. I'm a kangaroo. You didn't know that, did you? Now, if you say I'm not, you're that's hate speech. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, that's how crazy it's getting. They've taken over the healthcare system, and of course the government can't run anything right, so that won't go well. And so we, as we look out, we ought to be thinking ourselves, how long, Lord, are you going to allow this to continue? And I think He's going to come back soon. I think we'll see Him soon. Habakkuk, he was preparing for judgment. He was waiting to see what God was going to do. We see in verse 5, and God is speaking to him. And in this book, in the first couple chapters, it's Habakkuk speaking and God speaking and Habakkuk speaking. They're talking to each other here. And God tells Habakkuk, he says, I got a plan. He says, behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelous, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that's the Babylonians, that bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not there. The Chaldeans or the Babylonians or whatever you want to call them, their name by, are marching through America. Verse 7 says, they are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar, or from far, excuse me. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be scorned unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing his power unto God. So here God's going to allow another nation to come in and to take them over for their disobedience, for their rejecting God. He says, somebody's going to come. It's a nation, and they're going to be vile and wicked and evil. And yet he's going to allow them to come in and destroy Israel, which he did. And Habakkuk, he said in verse 12, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. And he's really asking the Lord, if you read down, I'm not going to read all this for the sake of time, but he's asking the Lord, are you really going to take and allow these evil people to come in and take Israel away? These people who are not people that are yours, these are the ones that are a heathen, and you're going to allow the heathen who are worse off or are more evil than Israel to come and take them away. And he said, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And as chapter 2, you read through chapter 2, you see he talks about Babylon and their situation and who they are and how wicked they are. And in verse 4, he pointed out, God did, this is God speaking here, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. He's talking about pride. This is Babylon. But he says, but the just shall live by his faith. And this morning, that is the key for us, is the just shall live by faith. This is verses repeated several times in the New Testament. And that's what we want to hang on to, is the fact that we can have faith in God and trust him. And to demonstrate that and to live that way, that we don't fall in the same trap, and we're already in the world that they were in, but we as Christians don't follow their ways and become like them. That's what was going on here. We live in perilous times. We know that. They're terrible times. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. This is almost 2,000 years ago when this was written. In 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy. He was a pastor, and he's trying to encourage him in the ministry and help him to know and to be mindful of what's going on in the world at that time. See how subtle it is? That time. And we see it's even worse today. But these words that he shares, they fit like a glove today in America and the world. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Follow along, please. He says in verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's where we're at in this world today. Verse 5, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 7, he says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we live in this world today. This is America. This is a nation that once was founded on the principles of God, that was the men that were in authority at that time. They wrote the Constitution that is foundationally based on the Bible. The rights that you have are because those men love the Lord. But today we don't see that we're going to hold to that document very much longer. We've already heard words that say we need to get rid of the Constitution. There have been people who said that. I mean, we're hearing things like defund the police, take away your guns. I'm scratching my head and thinking, well, who's going to be in charge? The government, for sure. our founding fathers bowed their knees to God, today we want to bow our knee to the flag. That's not right, folks. We bow our knee to God. Today we don't acknowledge God in our schools, our courthouses, or anywhere publicly. Today our children are living with their heads filled with all kinds of ungodliness. America's being captured one child at a time. We've become lovers of ourselves. We've lost the natural affection that we should have. Men with women and women with men. It's just the opposite now. You can do whatever you want and it's wrong. We're without self-control. We're proud. We have a lot of knowledge, but no truth. We've become corrupt. There's going to be a day when you try to share the Lord or say something about the Lord that somebody's going to mark your name down and somebody's going to knock at your door. We're going to lose that opportunity to speak because we don't. It's going to happen. It's going to continue to go down that path. So what's the remedy for all that's going on? What's the remedy in our lives and the situation we're in? It's the same remedy that Habakkuk had in his day. In chapter 3, Habakkuk begins a prayer. He says in verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. I ought to be afraid. We ought to be afraid what we see what's going on in the sense that we see how America and Christianity is moving away from God. And he was afraid because he knew that the Chaldeans, the wicked people, were going to be the ones that were going to rule over Judah and take them captive. He said, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known, in wrath remember mercy. Revive thy work. What is the work of God? Today it's salvation for anyone who will believe. That is the work of God. Is to make known His name and make much about Jesus and let people know that there is something else that's more important that will change your life forever. Today, you can read article after article. You can go and read different things. People don't even know what the resurrection is anymore. I was reading an article of different denominations, Baptists included, and they're so confused about what the resurrection is. Some think, well, somebody stole the body. They really believe that. And that the resurrection is not important at all. It's as important as the cross and the shed blood. It is that important. People don't know anymore. They're confused. Why? We need revival. I don't know about you, but I need revival. I think Stratton needs revival. I think Maine itself needs revival. I think America needs revival. I think the world needs revival. But who's going to do it? Is God going to come down? Could he have come down to Judah that time and stood in the temple? Could Jesus have done that or God Himself? You know they could have. But they sent what? The prophet who sent Baruch, who preached the Word of God to them. So who's God going to send today? Who's God going to use today? Just like Habakkuk, we need to come desperate, desirous, and dependent on God. We need to trust Him for this. Charles Finney once said, if the presence of God is in the church will draw the world in. If the presence of God is not in the world will draw the church out. In other words, either the Bible will keep us from sinning or sin will keep us from the Bible. The whole idea is that we need a time to be in the Word of God, and each person needs to get with God alone and say, Father, help me. I need revival. He's not telling anybody necessarily to go some other foreign country or anything. We're here in Stratton. He's telling us to work in Stratton. Let's do a work here. Well, they've already heard. Well, tell them again. Israel heard many times. Many prophets went to Israel and told them and told them and told them and told them. They need to hear it again. God didn't give up on them. He's not going to give up on the people today. But He wants us to be the messengers of that message. But it might require, first off, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us, now this is to Israel for sure. It's written to them, but it's applicable to us today. Because I believe, as it says, if my people, I believe as a child of God, I'm His people. You're His people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Four things there that He wants us to do. Four things. Humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked. But Pastor, I'm not wicked. I don't do anything wicked. Search me, O Lord. See if there be any wicked way in me. I tell you, it's something that we need to do every single day. It can get to the point of just the thoughts we think. They could be wicked. But He gives a promise if we'll do that. If we'll do that, He promises us something. He tells us, then will I hear from heaven. He says, I'm going to hear your prayer. I'm going to hear what you're asking. If you do these four things, I'm going to hear you. I want God to hear me. Else my prayers aren't worth anything, are they? If He doesn't hear them, and He says, and will forgive their sin. I need my sin forgiven. I need to talk to Him about that. I need to go to Him every time that I know there's a situation in my life. I need to be talking to Him and be talking to Him often. It's amazing how, and I know all of you experience this in your life. You're doing something, you're doing a job, and you're talking to the Lord. I mean, it's funny. It's like you're sitting there and maybe you're wiring something. You ever done that? Wire something or work on some plumbing or do something. And the whole time, if you're not talking verbally to somebody else, you're sitting there talking to the Lord. Lord, help me do this. And I mean, that's what I'm doing all the time. In fact, I had an accident the other day. I should have prayed before I messed with the bike. But Peter came over with a bicycle and I put the tire on and got it all set up. And his kickstand was loose. He said, Grandpa, my kickstand's loose. So I said, oh, we can fix that. It's one of those Allen wrenches, you know. And so I took it and I got it tight as I could. And I got it really tight. I guess I'm stronger this way than the other way. But anyway, I got on there and we pulled it down. It was sticking out way too far. And I wanted to go back. So when you're riding it, it's not near the pedal. And so I'm sitting there and I said, yeah, we can fix that. So I start pushing on that thing real hard. And in my mind, I don't know if the Lord put this thought in my mind or what, but in my mind I'm saying, this thing's going to give way. I'm not going to be able to stop it. And I'm going to bust my hand right up against the frame. But my pride says, I can do this. I'm serious. I'm thinking these thoughts right at the time I'm doing this. Boom! Ah! Ooh! Smashed my finger. And I told Peter, says, we got to praise the Lord. He warned me. He told me, in an essence, we need to spend time with the Lord all the time we can. And I neglect Him so often, and there are many times I don't talk to Him. But it's something that we want to talk to Him. We want to be asking Him the questions. Lord, what do I need to do? Where do I need to go? How do I need to live? Is this okay for me? Is this what I should be doing? Why? Because we want the power of God in our lives. I want Him to hear my prayers. I want Him to forgive my sin. But then what does He say after that? I'll heal your land. Who's responsible for America today? Well, it's not my fault those dumb politicians aren't making the right decisions. I didn't have anything. I didn't even vote for those people. Well, according to the Bible, if I'm getting right with the Lord and we as Christians are getting right with the Lord, we're going to have a bigger influence on what goes on in this country. I personally think. I think over time, and we can see this, you can go back early on, Christians have changed over the years. We follow the fads of the world. We keep allowing the world to tell us and dictate to us how we're to live. If you were to go back to the 50s, or you saw those people and those Christians, now they weren't perfect by any means. In fact, Christianity is part of the problem we have in America. In the South, they would take a verse like 1 Corinthians, I guess, or 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and talk about not to be unequally yoked. And they apply that to the races, what they call the black and white. That was not correct. He's talking about believers and unbelievers. There's a difference. And because of those things, Christianity has gotten a bad name, because the Word of God has not been handled correctly and taught correctly over the years. And we're giving it up every single day. But you know, God is on the throne. He is still there. The same God that sent Jeremiah the word of the Lord is the same God that's given us the word this morning, right here, called the Bible. He's the same God that's trying to reach every heart in this room with the Spirit of God to draw them to Himself, that they would see the need and burden that Habakkuk saw. And it's a burden that we need to come to God and we need to ask Him, maybe beg Him, to do a work. How real is God in your life? That's the thing I ask myself. How real is He in my life? Am I really a Christian, or is it just Christian name only? Do I judge things by the Word of God? Do I look to Him and ask Him to help me to make decisions? Or do I just choose what I want to do? You know, right now the government is trying to hook. They're just a little bit more progressive. This has always been the thing, though, and Satan is the god of it, the god of this world. You know, they doled out all these checks. Everybody get one of those, or two of those, or three of those. Say amen. Amen. I got one or two, three. Doled out all these checks. Why did that happen? I would probably say most of us, now there may be some folks who have need here, but most of us didn't need that money. Most of us could have got by just fine without it. But you know what the next step is, don't you? That was just a taste. Everybody got a taste of the honey, how sweet that was. Boy, we bought a lot of things with that money, didn't we? I'm getting ready to spend some money on a trailer, I think. We did, didn't we? But now, for you families, they're going to take and give you $300 or $250, depending on how old your child is, and it's going to equate to some money every month. You're going to get it. It's free for the next year, I think. Why are they doing that? It's because they want us to be dependent on the government. Who is the government? They're led by Satan. But I thought God puts those in control. Yes, He did. And does, just like He did the Babylonians over the Israelites. They were not godly people. And yet, He allowed them to take Israel and take them captive. There was a remnant that got to stay in Jerusalem. But most people were gone and taken away captive. What's the point then? Is the point, be careful. Don't ever stop depending on God. Don't stop praying because you have everything you need. Get on your knees and thanking for what He has given you and what you have, and also be mindful to give back what you have been given. Don't rob God either. That would be a big mistake. But listen to Habakkuk in his prayer at the end of it. This is what he is proclaiming and saying. He says in verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, so he knows these things are going to be terrible, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls. Those are pretty desperate times. Look what he says in verse 18. Keep this before us. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Boy, how many times did I get down in the mouth when things don't go right? Instead of saying, thank you, Lord, it's like, why? Why, Lord? It's not fair. No matter what happens, we need to look to the Lord and trust Him in our lives. And be ready, because things are going to get worse, but we don't give up. Everybody in this room would defend their families with everything they have in them. But are we going to stand for God and do what He says? Are we going to defend the faith? Are we going to tell others about the faith? We lose our rights because we give them away. That's how we're losing these things. It's not they're taking them away. They're not. We have signed the paper, drank the Kool-Aid, and say, you can do it. And as long as we keep doing it, it's going to keep happening. We must be dependent on God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, Paul wrote, and of course we could read all the end of that chapter, but he said, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What do we have to be afraid of? If we're doing the will of God, are we in the right place? If we're sharing the gospel and telling others about Jesus, things might happen, but are we doing the right thing? Yes. Is God going to bless us? Yes. What if He don't give me the blessing today? Maybe they lock me in prison. Maybe they take my life. Maybe they punch me in the mouth. Hey, I'm ready to go to glory. I really am. If that's where the Lord wants me, I'm ready to be there with Him. Today even. God will see us through these difficult times, but He wants us to be active in these difficult times. He doesn't want us to lock our doors and hide ourselves. The world is dying and going to hell, and you and I have the message. We have the Word of God. But we need to be focused. Hebrews 12:2. And verse 1, it talks about those great cloud of witnesses. It's talking about faith here. Do we have the faith to carry on? It requires that we look unto Jesus, the finisher and author of our faith, who for the joy that was before Him, set before Him, despised the shame. Despising the shame, it says. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look unto Jesus. Keep your focus on Him. Leader, where do you go? Not with Him. You lose track real quick. Next thing you know, have you ever been to the store, especially probably young kids and stuff? At times I remember when we were growing up, maybe shouldn't say this, but parents, you don't let your kids do this, but when we were growing up, we'd go into Montgomery Ward's or Sears or wherever, and this was back in the early 60s and on a little bit, and our parents would go maybe to buy clothes for school. Okay. So we'd run around, me and my sister. We'd go hide under the clothes. You know, they had those big circle racks. We'd go get in there and hide so our parents couldn't see us. Our parents weren't real concerned about that, because the things that were going on then are nothing like the things that go on today. Very few people were grabbed up and taken and hauled away. You know, it's just today, it's almost like you don't want to let your children out of your sight, because in an instant, there's so much wicked and evil going on, someone might take them away. It's a different time that we're living in. It's a dark period, and it's going to get darker. We don't want to get caught up in the philosophies of the world. We want to have a right perspective on what's going on, understanding. You need to do some study too. Like I said, don't drink the Kool-Aid. That's in reference from Jim Jones, as you all remember. Christians can do that. They can take for granted a lot of things. It's important that we know what's going on and know what the truth is. Pray that God will work. Pray for each other. Pray that God will allow anyone, you can name a name, that they will have opportunity in their workplace to share the gospel. Paul said to do that. Pray for me. that I might be able to present the Word of God. We can do the same thing. We can pray for each one that are going out into the world and doing things. Pray specific. Why? That's the importance of all of this. That's what we're talking about. Christianity. The real Christianity. Not American Christianity. There's a difference. We know that God loves us. Jeremiah, in that same book, he was talking to about the Israelites, and Jeremiah 31 says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He still loved them. Yet he was going to discipline them. That's also a sign of his love, isn't it? The chastening hand of God in our lives. And I think we're going to see more and more of that. But he cares for us. Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Go to him. Talk to him often. Commune with him. When you're with somebody else, you talk to him, right? Yeah, of course. So when you're alone, don't be silent. Just start talking to the Lord. Spend time with him all the time. And let him talk to you. How does he do that? Through the Word of God. So when you're reading and meditating and learning the Word of God, he'll speak back to you through the Word of God. He'll remind you these things. He'll encourage you in these things. Psalm 56:3-4 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And God, I will praise his word. And God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, do I want to get beat up? And we also know that in the end, we have the victory. We have the victory. It's secured. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4 says, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Have faith in God. Let your faith be real and let it go and direct you through the Word of God. This is where we get the understanding of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So if I want to increase my faith, this is where I need to go. And when I see what the Bible teaches, and I can go back to the Old Testament and the New Testament, I can see comparisons. I remember he's the same God, maybe different dispensations. I believe that. We're living under the new covenant, not the old. We're not under those laws. But by the grace that we're saved, also that same grace is we're going to follow God. We're not going to steal, kill, cheat, lie, take the name of the Lord in vain. We're not going to do any of that. We're going to trust him. Trust him for what he has for us. Living in times that Habakkuk saw as desperate. As times that he's crying out to God for God to do something. When's the last time we cry out to God for him to do something? Oh God, please. Hear my prayer. You see the world we live in. Now we're going to have a better world, but we don't want to give this one up just yet. When God's done with it, he'll be done with it. But we have some responsibility in it. And that's just obedience. That's all it is. Obedience. And you find that in the Word of God. God has a plan and purpose. It's my responsibility to live in the light of the Word, to be a light in the world, and to let the world know that God loves them. That's my responsibility. Romans 13:11-14, Paul penned these words. It says, and that knowing the time, that now is it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Obviously, we're getting closer to the time the Lord's coming back. He says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Turn from our wicked ways, he says. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting in drunkenness, not chambering in wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The Lord's coming back soon. The question is, how long, O Lord? We don't know. But until He does come back, You and I are here for a purpose, that others may know Christ. That's why He called us, and that's why we're here. Otherwise, He'd just take us home to be with Him in glory. The day I put my faith and trust in Christ, October 26, 1992, when I said, Lord, that I was a sinner and I'm lost and I'm on my way to hell, please save me. If that's all He wanted me to do, I'd been gone. I don't know who would have been around to say, because all those other people who were Christians, they would have been gone too. I don't know who had been around to say, He just disappeared. Maybe somebody that was lost in the congregation. It could be in this congregation somebody's lost today. Don't leave this place without knowing for sure that you're saved. If the Lord is speaking to you, listen to Him. Whether it's salvation, whether it's dedication, commitment, trust, whatever it is, listen to the Lord. It's reading your Bible because you're not doing it. It's easy to do. Everybody goes through periods of dryness or leanness when they put away the Word of God and set it on the counter and don't read it like they should. Same thing with prayer. We've all experienced it. I've experienced it many times. It's not a good place to be in. Put your trust in the Lord and let Him direct your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the burden that Habakkuk had. Father, we see it today in America. Help us to have that burden as well. Burden for the neighbors, for those that we come in contact, that some way, Father, we can make a difference. We can have an influence. But it starts here in my own heart. It starts here in my own life. That I need to be revived. Help each one of us.